Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Gospel read, the Old Testament read before from Isaiah chapter 11. Just like to reread the opening verse, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. This is our text. Have you ever noticed there are two kinds of jokes? One kind makes you laugh, the other kind makes you groan. Here's a groaner. While hiking in the woods, Nate and Sam found this huge rock which had an old iron lever attached to it. And etched into that rock was the following inscription: "If this lever is pulled, the world will come to an end." Well, Nate wanted to pull the lever and see what would happen. But Sam, being a pessimist, said no. He didn't want to have anything to do with the end of the world. But he said to Nate that if he tried to pull the lever, he'd shoot him. But Nate had to find out if the warning was authentic. And Nate lunged for the lever, and sure enough, Sam shot him. What's the moral of the story? Better Nate than lever. I warned you it was a groaner. But speaking about the end of the world, what would you do if you believed that the end of the world was right around the corner? Would you get religion? Would you get drunk? Would you skip work and go golfing? Would you shop till you drop? How would you handle it? Our Bible passage for today, it's about the end times. It's about the last days on earth. It's about the closing chapters of human history. Let's set the stage for the story. The prophet Isaiah began his ministry around the year 740 BC, about 700 years before the birth of Christ. And his job was to warn the people of Judah that they would be destroyed if they didn't turn back to God. See, at that time, though, Judah was financially prosperous, but spiritually bankrupt. The judicial system was corrupt. The wealthy were taking advantage of the poor. Judah's king, Ahaz, he pretended to be a believer, but in reality, he was a power-hungry politician who turned his back on God. And as if all of this didn't make Isaiah's job hard enough, listen to this. From the very beginning of his ministry, God cautioned him that the people would not listen to him and that he would witness their destruction in spite of his hard work. How's that for motivation? You know, so what does Isaiah do in the face of such discouragement? Well, Isaiah stays true to his vision. He believes that he has seen the future, and through discouraging times, he refuses to let go. Let me ask you, have you ever had a vision, a dream, a picture of a better future? In a television interview many years ago, Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple Computer, he was asked this question: "Mr. Jobs, you've already started your next company. You must be a driven man. Is that what causes you to start companies?" And Steve Jobs looked at the reporter and says, "No, I don't feel like I'm a driven man. Thing is, I have such an exciting vision of what my team and I can accomplish that it's like I'm running toward a magnet. I have daydreams where I'm literally running toward an image of our goals. I guess you could say I'm a pulled man. Well, Isaiah was not a driven man. He was a pulled man. If we were to ask Isaiah, how did you keep going in the face of constant persecution? How did you stay true to your calling? Isaiah would probably echo those words of Stephen Jobs, saying, I have such an exciting vision from God. It's like I'm being pulled by a magnet. And in spite of numerous discouraging circumstances, Isaiah stays true to his vision. Stan Toler tells the story about a man during the Boer War in South Africa who was convicted of a very unusual crime. He was convicted of being a discourager. The town of Ladysmith had been under attack, and this traitor moved up and down the lines of soldiers who were defending the city, and he did everything that he could to discourage them. He pointed out the enemy's strength, the difficulty of defending against them, the inevitable capture of the city. And everywhere he went, he sowed seeds of doubt. You notice he didn't use a gun in his attack. It hadn't been necessary. His weapon was the power of discouragement. Maybe we ought to try and convict people of being discouragers. I mean, let me ask you, have you ever had a great vision for your life, some great picture of what you can do and be, and somebody comes along and whispers in your ear a word of discouragement? Fact is, it happens all the time in churches. Someone has a dream for what God would have his church be and do. And then, out of the woodwork, comes the discourager. Fact is, it's an awful thing to step on somebody's vision from God. But Isaiah stayed true to his vision. Of course, he couldn't have done that if he didn't believe that the vision was from God. I mean, if this were just some small human thing and not a God thing, Isaiah would have let go of it early on. But his vision was a magnificent vision, which could only come from God. And here's what Isaiah sees in his vision. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the kid, and the little boy will lead them. Also, the cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And then it will come about in that day that the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious. Did you hear that? What a vision. What a magnificent dream. That was the power of God. That was the power behind that vision that God gave to Isaiah. That's what allowed him to look further than what his eyes could see. In the last days, God reveals to Isaiah all the nations of the world will unite in peace and a mutual desire to know the Lord and walk in his ways. No injustice, because the Lord himself will be their judge. There will be peace among all peoples, and the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid. Imagine, all peoples will live in unity and justice and peace. Why? Because the Lord himself will live among them. What a magnificent dream. In the Broadway play, The Man of La Mancha, Don Quixote is near death. And all his life, people have mocked him for his positive attitude. He's the type of person who could turn any lemon, no matter how sour, into the finest lemonade. But yet other people scorned his visions. In his self-defense, Don Quixote asked this question: who's crazy? Am I crazy because I see the world as it could become? Or is the world crazy because it only sees itself as it is? You know, I think that's the eternal question that the prophet is asking. Am I crazy because I see the world as it could become? Or is the world crazy because it only sees itself as it is? And the prophet's blessing and curse is to be given a vision of the world as it could become. In the midst of chaos, God blesses Isaiah with a vision of a future hope. And if Isaiah didn't believe that his vision was from God, he could never have stuck it out. And the key to Isaiah's great vision of the future, the birth of a little child. Even though Isaiah lived more than seven centuries before the birth of Christ, he gives us the clearest picture of the Messiah in the whole Old Testament. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Earlier in chapter 7, Isaiah also declares, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. You see, God had a plan for the people of Israel and Judah. He wasn't guaranteeing them immediate peace and prosperity, but he gave them a glimpse of his awesome, ultimate plan for the restoration of Israel and the salvation of the world. Someday, according to Isaiah's vision, God will come and live among us, and his face will no longer be hidden from his people. Can you see the vision? The world will be changed because of the birth of a tiny babe. Isaiah had a vision from God, a vision of the world as it could be, realized when the hearts of people like you and me, when we're opened to be a manger where the Christ child can dwell. Amen.